We're beginning here 15 lines down on the top of Lamed Hey Omed Aleph. Gemara here is going to discuss issues with regards to a Zav, just as a matter of background in the Parshia about Zav in Perek Tevav in Vayikra. Over there in the beginning of the Parshia, it says, Dabru al b'nei Yisrael, bar matalehem, ish, which we bumped into before in terms of the limud from that. Ki yeh Zav mi b'saro, zovo tamehu. In that pasuk, the word Zav is mentioned twice. And that's what the Gemara calls Baal Shtei Riyot, someone who has two emissions of Ezav. The subsequent pasuk says, Vezot Tiyeh Tumato Bizovo, Rar Bisaro Etzovo, Oechtim Bisaro Mizovo, Tumato Hu. So in that pasuk, the subsequent pasuk, it mentions the word Zav three times. And that's what's called Ezav Baal Gimel Riyot. Ezav who has three sightings or three emissions. The difference between them is the necessity for a korban. Both of them, whether they have two emissions or three emissions, need zayin nikiyim. They need shiva nikiyim in order to be tahor from the tumat hazav. If you have a third sighting, then you're also chayav in a korban as well as the zayin nikiyim. So on the eighth day, you'll bring a korban for the tarat hazav. The parsha over there then continues and describes all the tumot of zav, which is kol mishkav asher yishkav alav. All of the tumult that we associate with Zav are mentioned in that Parshia. And that Parshia is headed by the fact that there is a Zav of two emissions and a Zav of three emissions. Or in essence, somebody only becomes a Zav after they've had two emissions. On the first emission, they're not considered or not classified as a Zav. Now, as far as the first emission is concerned, of course, in order to have two emissions, you have to have a first emission. In order to have three emissions, you have to have one, two, and then the third emission. Question as to what the standing of the first emission is governed by a pasuk all at the end of Perek Tevav, which is Zot Torah Tazav, Asher Tetzei Mimenu Shechvat Zera L'Tamaba. So the Torah tells us that the Torah Tazav is connected to Shechvat Zera. And the Parshia in the middle talks about an emission of Shechvat Zera. And what the Chazal learned from that is that the first emission of Ezav is equated to that of Shechvat Zera, to the dinim, and to the implications of having a sighting of Shechvat Zera, having a seminal emission, that is connected to the first sighting of Ezav. And therefore, all the tumult that we know about a Zav and all the particular character traits of a Zav are only from the second sighting and onward. In the first sighting, he has a lower form of tumah. He has tumat erev, just like a person who has an emission of shechvat zera. He only has tumat erev, and the shechvat zera itself is mitamei b'maga, but not b'masa. And similarly, the first emission of the Zav is only mitamei b'maga, not b'masa. That's just as a way of background. On that, Rav Huna makes a comment. Am Rav Huna, Riyah Rishuna Shel Zav Mitama Be'onis. When it comes to the first sighting of the Zav, it has the ability to make the person Tameh and count as a Riyah, even if it is not Mibsaro. So the Torah requires that in order to have a Zav emission, it has to be Zav Mibsaro. It has to come from his body. It has to be a result of the ailment of Zav, and the emission is being driven by that ailment. The Gemara later on will tell us that there are Shiva Drachim Bodkim, there are seven ways to check by a Zav, and each of those is a precipitating factor that could cause a Zav emission. If you engage in any one of those activities, then we would assign the probability of the emission being driven by that activity versus coming Mibsaro, and it would not be counted as a Zav emission. What Rav Huna says is that's only true from the second sighting and onward. And that's because, as we noted already, in the Parshia of Zav, it starts with two sightings and then three sightings. And that's where the qualification of Mibsaro is in the Parshia that deals with two sightings and three sightings. So that means that the first sighting is not governed by Mibsaro, as well as the fact that the Torah connects between the din of Zav and Shechvat Zera. And by Shechvat Zera, we have no such qualification. Shechvat Zera is mitameh, both be'onis and mibisaro. It doesn't really matter how the emission happened. As long as there is a discharge of Shechvat Zera, the person is tameh. And so too, what Rav Huna is suggesting over here is the first emission of the Zav also doesn't have the qualification of bisaro. Even if it happens be'onis, it will be considered to be an emission, Shenamar. And they quote the pasuk that we already noted, which is Zot Torat Zav, Vasher Teitzei Mimenoch Shechvat Zera, Ma Shechvat Zera Mitamei Bonus. Just like Shechvat Zera, if the discharge happens, even the Ones, because of another precipitating factor, Afriya Rishonah Shel Zav Mitamei Bonus. So too, the first sighting of the Zav has the same din as Shechvat Zera, that it is qualified emission, even if it was Beones, even if it happened from whatever those exogenous variables were, and not because of Bissaro. And so that is Rav Huna's position. Rashi says that the implications of the fact that he considers it to be like the emission of Shechvat Zera is Ota Tuma Kala Hamuraba, that small level of Tuma that's associated with Shechvat Zera, which is Maga, that the Shechvat Zera can make something Tamei through contact, Vitumat Erev, and the fact that you are Tamei for the day, and then you have to go to the mikveh, and at sunset, you are then Tahor, Ulehitzaref Lishnia, Litamei Kezav Gamur, and to be the first emission, to then be connected to a second emission that will make him into a full Zav, that is what is true of the first emission of the Zav. And it's similar to Shechvat Zera, whereby the Torah tells us, V'ish, ki titzei memenu Shechvat Zera, rachatz b'mayin et kol b'sero v'tamei ad arev, so there's tumat arev, kol beged v'chol or, asher yalav Shechvat Zera, kubas b'mayin v'tamei ad arev. And so too, if the Shechvat Zera itself comes into contact with these items, then it has to be laundered, it has to be put in the mikveh, and it's tamei ad arev. So that's what Rashi says that the din of Rav Huna is. It's telling us that you have all the dinim of Shechvat Zera with regards to the first emission of the Zav, including the fact that it will build towards a second Re'iyah. Bali HaTosafot, based on the upcoming question of the Gemara, say that Rav Huna's statement is really focused on the fact that this first sighting can count towards the count to get to a second sighting. And that's really what the focus of the Gemara is over here in the Rav Huna. And he says that's because of the way that the statement is phrased. It says here, Ri'ya Rishona Shelzav Mitama Bonus. Instead of saying Ri'ya Achat, one Ri'ya, it says Ri'ya Rishona. When you say Rishona, the implications are that there is a Shnia and a second. And the Mishnah that we're going to quote from Zavim, Tosafot is going to say that Ra'a Ri'ya Rishona means that he already had two sightings. And the question is about the first sighting that he had. And that's what Tosafot says. Rav Huna's whole halacha is revolving around what's the status of the first sighting vis-a-vis the second sighting. It's not about the Tuma, it's not about Tumat Erev, it's not the fact that it has din like Shechvat Zera. That's all obvious, and that's not what Rav Huna's Chiddush is. Rav Huna's Chiddush is, despite the fact that it happened bonus, that it still can count towards the second Re'iyah, so that you'll have a first and then a second, and then you become a full-fledged Zav, even though normally, for an emission of a Zav, onus would not be sufficient, would not be allowed in terms of making you into a Zav. So Rashi is very focused on this issue of Tum'ah, and that is the question that Rav Huna is addressing is the first sighting make you Tamei? And does it itself, is the sighting, the emission itself, is it Tamei Tumat Maga? And that's the question that Rav Huna is addressing, as well as the fact is, can it then join together with the second Re'iyah to make you Tamei? Whereas the Bali HaTosafot say that the focus is solely on that issue, as to whether the first Re'iyah can be mitzdaref to the second Re'iyah to make you Tamei, that's what Rav Huna is focused on. Not about whether the first Re'iyah itself is Tamei, makes the person who is citing it Tamei, and therefore according to the Bali HaTosafot, there is a possibility that you could have it be that the first Re'iyah is mitamei tumat maga, and makes the person Tamei tumat erev, even though it cannot be mitzdaref to the second Re'iyah to make you Tamei at the full-fledged Zav. Because according to Rashi, the two are integrally connected. And therefore, if it's able to make you Tamei, then it's also able to be mitzdaref to the second Re'iyah. And if it can't make you Tamei, then it can't be mitzdaref. The two are integrally connected. Now the Gemara asks from the Mishnah in Zavin, and it's going to bring a number of Tanaic works to either challenge or support the contention of Rav Huna. Tashma, Ra'ariya Rishona, Bodkinoto. After the first sighting, we check him. According to Rav Huna, now why would you have to check him after the first sighting? The checking is only necessary if you believe that he has to come Mibsaro and not Mionis. It has to come out of his flesh, out of the ailment, and not because of some exogenous variable like the seven things that cause a zav emission. So what you do is you check to see maybe there was an activity that caused the problem. So my lav lituma. Sounds like you check him for tuma. Now, why would you have to check him for tuma if you believe that a sighting bonus is considered to be a sighting that counts towards being a zav? You don't have to check because by definition, any emission he has is fine. It says lo likurban. It's not to check him to whether he is tameh or the emission is tameh. It's for the korban, to check whether it will count towards the korban. So according to Rashi, the havamina is that you would be tohora the gamrei if you figured out that it was ba'onis, meaning that there was a precipitating factor besides bisaro that made you tameh. The maskana is you are tameh, and it can count towards the second count of zav to make you into a zav. The one area where it makes the difference as to whether it was mi bisaro versus mi onso, which means that it came from some exogenous precipitating factor, is whether you can count it towards the three emissions that you need for a korban. That might be a higher standard, as we'll see later, that requires that you have every one of the sightings be mi bisaro. According to the Balei HaTosafot, the Havamina was that it would, you're checking to see whether it will allow you to count the two counts to be a Zav Gamur, because you already had two sightings, but the first sighting was one that was Be'onis. And so the question is, can that be Mitztarev to make you into a Zav? The Havamina is, no, it cannot. And then the Maskana is, yes, it can. The only thing it can't do is add towards the three count that you need for the Korban, but it does work towards the two count of the Tumat to make you into a Zav Baal Shtei Riyot. So then the Gemara says, Tashma. The Mishnah continues and says, Bishniya Bodkimoto. So again, in the second emission, they check him again. Lamai, why are you checking him? Ilema the Korban. If you're telling me that you're checking him to see if he's going to be Chayav a Korban from this emission, Aval Tuma lo, but with regards to Tuma, that's not the case. Ikre kan mi bisaro, below machmat onso. Over here, it's clear that you have the qualification of bisaro and not machmat onso, that the second emission is something that has to be governed by the rules of bisaro. So if that is elalav, it must be lituma, in that you cannot become tameh with your second emission and turn into a zav unless the emission came be bisaro and not from the other factors that could have contributed to the possibility of a zav emission. That's because the word bisaro, which teaches us dead din, is found in the pasuk that has the two sightings. And so therefore, by definition, once you reach the second emission of the zav, then you're talking about a question as to whether he's tameh or not tameh. And the Gemara concludes from that, be the safe of the tuma, reishin nami the tuma, must be that if the second check here that is being done is to determine whether he's tameh or not tameh, reishin nami the tuma. So too, the first case should be where you're checking him after the first sighting, you're checking to see whether he's tameh or not. So the Gemara says, no, be the area. Why do you have to say they're parallel? Hagadita, v'hagadita. Each check is for the different issue that is taking place. In the second emission, the check is coming to determine whether this individual is a zav or not a zav for all the implications that come with that, which is there tuma? Does he become an ava tuma? Is he mitame, mishkav and moshav? Is he now hanid, shivanikim? That's why you need the check for the second emission. As far as the first emission is concerned, you don't need a check for Tuma, because the Tuma comes even bonus, as Rav Huna said, and therefore it doesn't need a check. The only question is whether it needs a check for the Mishnah says that you need a check is to determine whether you can be Chayav a Korban based on building the blocks of emissions that you need in order to have three emissions to reach the threshold of having to bring a Korban. So Gemara says, Tashma. Further on in the Mishnah, it says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ach bishlishi bodkimoto mipnei korban. So Rabbi Eliezer says that even in the third sighting, you require a check because of the korban, to determine whether you're chayav a korban, because you need to know that it came mibisaro, michlau. From there you would conclude that Tanakama, who was speaking until now, mipnei tuma kamar, that he was speaking about tuma and not about a korban. The Tosafot here is adamant about the fact that the diok here is not out of the language. It's not because Rabbi Eliezer mentioned the Korban that the Tanakama is then speaking about Tumah, because the Gemara in the second is going to say, no, everybody thinks that we're speaking about Korban. So if the Diuk was from the language, that Diuk wouldn't go away. The fact that the Gemara dispenses with what they're saying now shows you they're not being Middayik out of the language. The Diuk is the Tanakama, if he required a check for a Korban, he should have also required a check on the third sighting. The fact that he only requires checks on the first sighting and the second sighting shows you that he must not be interested in Korban. Rabbi Eliezer, who is interested in Korban, makes you have a check for the third sighting as well. So that's the diuk of the Gemara. The fact that he only requires the check on the first two and not the third, rather than the language. It's not the language that is governing over here. The Gemara says, "Mikal d'tana kama ipnei tuma kamar." If that's the case, then he's saying that you have to check for tuma, and that would undermine what Rav Huna said. Where it says, "Lo, the kuliyama, the korban." Everybody, both the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer, say you require a check for a korban. And they argue about the word et, whether it is a riboy or it's not a riboy. Rabbanan lo darshe etim. The Rabbanan, the Tanakama, are not doresh the word et. Rabbi Eliezer darish etim. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer is doresh the word et. Therefore, he ends up with an extra emission. Rabbanan lo darshe etim. They are not doresh the word et. And therefore, in the pasuk, the tail end of Perek Tet Vav, in Mitzora, it says, Vadava benidata, Vazav et zovo, lezachar velanakeva, velish sheishkav im tmeya. The word zav is chada, one emission. Et zovo, zovo is tarte, is the second emission. Lezachar is shlishi, is a third emission. Akshe rachmana lenekeva. And that is then connected to nekeva, which is that the way that the Gemara is reading this now is that you have three emissions. You have a Zav, Zobo, then you have the word Zachar. Those are three emissions. And the last word is Nekeva. The word Nekeva teaches you that you can have a emission that is not associated with Mibisaro. That is because, as we already learned before, when it comes to Tumata Nida, even if it's an involuntary discharge of Dam, the woman is still Tamei Tumat Nida. Nida does not require Mibisaro. It requires any emission, any discharge of blood, the woman would be considered a nida. And so what the Chachamim say is that the first two emissions have a requirement of mibisaro. The third emission, which comes from the word zachar, is juxtaposed to the word nekeva and is governed by the word nekeva. And therefore the third emission can happen even bonus. Even if it was precipitated by another factor, it still would be classified as a riyah, an emission, that makes you chayav in a korban. The other way to read it is hazav et zovo, which is the first two emissions, la zachar, have the rules of a zachar. And then the last emission is la nekeva, is to the female side, which means that even bones, it takes place. That's the view of the chachamim, or the Tanakama. That's why he requires a check on the first emission, a check on the second emission, but no check on the third emission. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer, darish itim, he is darish the word et. Zav is chado, et is tarte, zovo is tlat, is the third one, birivii, on the fourth one, akshe rachmana the nekeva, connected it, or it paralleled it with that of a nekeva. So you either read it as, hazav is one, et is two, zovo is three, la zachar is number four, but that number zachar is juxtaposed to the word nekeva, so that fourth one can even be ba'onis, as opposed to the first three, which have to be mibisaro, and that's why you need a check for all three of them. Or the other way to read it is bazav et zovo, which are the first three emissions, la zachar, they're ruled by the rules of a zachar, which means only mibisaro and not bonus, whereas the last emission is la nekeva, is governed by the rules of nekeva, which means even bonus, you can have a emission. Now, that's interesting only because, according to Rabbi Eliezer, once you have three emissions, you're chayav in a korban. What does the fourth emission matter anymore? You've already had the requisite emissions to make you chayav in a korban. Having a fourth emission afterwards is not going to change it. You don't get any more tumah, or you're not chayav in any more korbanot for excess emissions above number three. So as Rashi explains over here, the fourth emission is good enough to be soter the shiva nikim. After you have three emissions, you have to wait shiva nikim before you bring your korban. If you have an emission during the 7 days that you're trying to count for nikim, it resets it. It undermines the shiva nikim. So what Rabbi Eliezer is saying is, for the first three to make you chayav in a korban, there you need me b'saro, and not mipnei onso. On the other hand, for the fourth emission, which can undermine your shivinikim, there it does not need to be b'saro, even if it happens b'onso, or it happens because of the other factors that precipitate the emission, that's still good enough to undermine your shivinikim. And so that'd be the machloket between them. But if that's the case, then they're not addressing what Rav Huna was addressing, which is, Rav Huna is addressing Riyah Rishona Shel Zav Mitamei Bonus, that the first sighting of the Zav is able to create Tuma, be treated like that of a Balkari, even if it happens involuntarily. And the Mishnah that we brought, that even though there's a requirement to check with the first emission, that check is not about the Tuma, that check is to determine whether the emission is a good enough emission to be counted towards the Korban, because the emissions of the Korban have a requirement of mi bisaro. Now the next proof, Tashma. Rav Yitzchak Omer, halo zav bichlal balkeri haya. Isn't a zav subsumed under the world of balkeri? Lama yatsa. Why does it separate away? Why is it distinct? Lahakel alav ulachmer alav. Partly for the kula, partly the chumra. Lahakel alav, the kula is sh'ein mitame ba'onis, because it now changes the din. Until now, with regards to a balkari we saw before, it doesn't matter how the emission happens, you are a tameh. Whether it happens involuntarily, if it happens because of whatever precipitating factor that causes the seminal emission, doesn't matter. As long as there's an emission, you are a tameh. That's not true by zav. Zav requires that it be mibsaro olo machmat onso. So that's a kula by zav. The other side is, lachmir alav, the chumra is, shehu osem ishka v'moshav. Now it has full-fledged tuma. He becomes an ava tuma, and the mishkan moshav of the zav now are at the same level as the zav himself. And they take on a character of being an ava tuma, or in essence, it's a much higher level of tuma once you work into the world of zav. Emat, when we were speaking about here, ilema viriya shniya, you're speaking about the second sighting, hechav klal balkeri. Why would you have thought that zav is subsumed in the world of balkeri? Elabshita biriya rishona. It's obvious that we're speaking about the first emission, viktani, and it says about the first emission, la kelalav, sheinu mitame bonus, that you have a dispensation by zav that is lakula, which is that only if it happens machmat b'saro and not machmat onso is it considered to be a mission. So again, that would be directly against this position of Rav Huna, where it says v'tisbira. Wait a minute, you cannot explain this brayta in that fashion. Because, how you can explain the second part of it, lachmir alav, that there's a chumra by zav, shuosem mishkav u'moshav, that zav is a higher level of tumah because it makes tamei mishkav u'moshav. The Gemara says, b'riya rishona bar mishkav u'moshavu, since when is a zav, after his first emission, someone who has tumat mishkav u'moshav, where he makes anything he sits on or lies on, tamei ba'ava tumah? That's not true. We said at the beginning of the shir today, that the psukim that are associated with tumat mishkav moshav only deal with situations of two emissions and three emissions, not a case of a single emission. So if that's the case, you certainly can't be speaking about the first emission, because you just told me that it makes him into a zav, that's tamei mishkav moshav. Elahachik amar, you have to read the position of Rabbi Yitzchak in the following manner. Rabbi Yitzchak omer, halo zav bichlal balkeri haya, piriya rishona. Zav was subsumed in the world of Balkeri for the first Ri'iyah. V'lama yatsa b'Ri'iyah shniya. And what does it change when you have the second emission? L'hakel alav u'l'achmir alav. There are two changes that take place. One the kula, one the chumra. L'hakel alav shenu mitamei bonus. The kula is that even though in the first emission, you can't have an emission that is bonus, and it still will count to make you tamei. By the second emission, that is not true. You have to have it mi b'saro. So that's the kula. But there is also a chumra that when it leaves the world of Balkeri, after which is the first emission, in the second emission, if he has a sighting then, his tuma level will be elevated significantly, and he will be an avha tuma, then he will also impact on mishkav and moshav. You'll have this much higher level of tuma. But now that is then a proof or supportive of Rav Huna's contention, that the requirement of onus only begins at the second emission. It's not true by the first emission. The first emission looks like keri, and it can happen even bonus. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Zov, the description of a Zav emission is domeh, the meibatzek shel seorim, is like the water of the dough of barley. So the waters that are around or mixed together with the dough of barley have some discoloration to them. They're not clear. They have a whiteness to them. Zov ba mibasara meit. Zov comes from dead flesh, because the zav emission comes through the male member. And basar meit means that it doesn't have kishui. It's not erect. It is something that is not engaged in any way. It just comes out. It drips out. Shichvat zera, on the other hand, ba mibasar hachai. It comes from the live flesh. And again, now, whether that means that it has to be something where, like what the Rambam says, where it seems to be that the member is erect, but there is no hana'a or ta'ava that is associated with it, it's just an emission or discharge that's happening by itself. Or does it mean, and this is the way Rashi, the other Masechto, describes it, says that basar chai means that it came out of a erection and actually came out of a hirhur, where the person had improper thoughts, and that's what caused it to come about. It came from the chimum, the excitement that was created, and that's what generates the discharge or the emission of the sichvat zera. Zov, deha, v'dome l'loven v'itza hamuzeret. Zov is, the word here, deha, has many different girsaot, as well as many different interpretations. Could mean, as Rashi says over here, that it is watery, it is loose. Others suggest that it comes from the word keha, which would mean that it is darker, not so light, not so bright, but a darker color. Vidome, and it's similar to the white of an egg. And Rashi says here, a mozeret is an egg that cannot be incubated. It's an egg that was not fertilized. Therefore, the white or the albumin will be looser, or you can say that it was muzeret, it was scrambled up or mixed up. That's the nature of the zov. So it's describing both the color, a type of white that is the albumin of an unfertilized egg, or scrambled type of egg where it will not, again, incubate into a chick. That's the white that we're speaking about. And it also, the consistency of it is deha, that it's watery liquidy. That is the emission of zav. Or it could be the other way around, that the deha is giving you, like the Rambam says, the coloring, and the comparison to the egg is giving you the consistency. Shichvat zera, on the other hand, is kishura, that it sticks together, or it's viscous in nature. That's the consistency of the shichvat zera. The dome l'loven beitza, she'enu muzeret. And it's similar to the white, the albumin of an egg, she'ena muzeret, that is not scrambled up, or an egg that is fertilized and who's incubated can produce a chick. So again, that's a description of the whiteness of it, the color of it, as well as the consistency of it. And that it's been described that shechvat zera, or this is the way to determine whether the emission is a shechvat zera emission or a zav emission, is both by the consistency. The more viscous it is, the more likely it is to be shechvat zera, and the brighter the whiteness of it is, then the more likely it is that it is a shechvat zera emission and not a zov emission. And now the Gemara goes back to our Mishnah to discuss dam hayoledet shelo tavla. A woman who gives birth, and after she goes through her yemei tuma of leida, that's 7 days for a zachar, 14 days for a nekeva, she does not go to the mikveh. The Mishnah had a machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai as to what the status of emissions after her yemei tuma or when she doesn't go to the mikveh. Beit Shammai believes that it's like her rok umemei ragleha. It's like any other emission or discharge of the woman, which is that it's tamei when it's lach, and it's not tamei when it's yavesh. It is the equivalent of a discharge from a ma'ayan. On the other hand, Beit Hillel believes that she is a full-fledged nida still. That means that if she has sightings of dam at that point in time, that dam is like dam nida, and therefore it's mitameh both lach and yavesh. The question as to what the status of the woman is, and whether it's mitameh the woman or not, is a machloket harishonim. We're going to focus just on the dam itself, which is what the Gemara here is focused on, which is that the dam of the woman who gave birth after her yamei tuma, if she doesn't go to the mikveh, according to Beit Hillel, continues to be dam tameh, dam nida. Therefore it's mitameh lach and yavesh, whether it's moist or dried out, it's mitameh. Whereas for Beit Shammai, it flips into being dam tohar, but the dam tohar here is still governed by the fact that it's a mayan. It is a discharge from a woman who has yet to make herself tohura, and therefore it will have the din of mayan note of the nida, just like meme raglayim and rokah. Her saliva and her urine have a din of tumah because they are coming from a person who is tmeah, so too this dam will have that same status. But that means that a mayan is only mitameh when it's lach, when it's moist, not when it's yavish. Now the Gemara says, Tanya, amru lahem beit hillel lebeit shammai. Beit hillel says to beit shammai, iatem modim ben nida shelo tavla. If a woman was tameh tumat nida and doesn't go to the mikveh, virata dam, and then she continues to have a sighting of dam, shehi tmeah, that she is tmeah, not only is she tmeah, but the dam itself remains tmeah, because she remains a nida. Amru lahem beit shammai, lo. Yes, we do agree with that, but it's not a good comparison. Im amartim ben nida, by a nida shefilu tavla. Even if she had gone to the mikveh, virata, and then had a sighting after she went to the mikveh, tmeya. That sighting then causes her problems of tuma, whether it's a problem of zava, whether it's a problem of nida, even post-mikveh, it has implications for her. Tomru b'yoledet, that's not true by yoledet. Shim tavla, had she gone to the mikveh, virata, and then had a sighting of dam, shehi tohra, then she would be tohra on the gamre, because that would have been the time period of dam tohar, after the 7 days of tuma, by a zakhar, the subsequent 33 days are yimei tohar, or by the female, after the 14 days of tuma, the 66 days of yimei tohar. So if she had a sighting then, after she went to the mikveh, that sighting would have no impact, not on her, and not on the dam itself, because it's considered to be a tahor emission. So then, how do you compare those cases? Nida, even post-mikveh, it will still be problematic if she has a sighting. Therefore, if she doesn't go to the mikveh, the sighting is still a sighting of nida, and we classify it as nida. Whereas by yoledet, whereby if she went to the mikveh, then the sighting would be classified as being tahor, and she would be tahor. Then if she doesn't go to the mikveh, the sighting also is quote-unquote tahor. It's not a sighting of nida, it's a mayan of a woman who is tmeah yoledet, and therefore it will be classified as a discharge of a mayan, but not as dam nida or dam leida. So amr lehem, yoledet bezov tokiach. Well, we can show you that even by yoledet, you would have to agree with us, and that is because in the Mishnah it says that a woman who gives birth bezov, she had dam before she gave birth, and she turned into a zavag dola going into the birth, and we'll discuss that in a little bit, what exactly those scenarios are. So that can prove to you, shim tavla virata lachar yemei sfira tehora. If she went to the mikveh and had a sighting after her yemei sfira, after her shivnikim, she is tehora. And yet, in the Mishnah, we said, lo tavla, if she didn't go to the mikveh, virata tmeya. And she has a sighting, she is tmeya. Because the Mishnah says that Beit Shammai agrees to Beit Hillel, if she's a yoledet bezov, that the sightings that she has, if she doesn't go to the mikveh, are tmeim, and it's as if the dam is dam nida or dam leida. Amar lahem hu adin v'hi atshuva. You got it wrong. Your assumption is that that's the halacha. But the answer to you is, we disagree on that too. Meaning Beit Shammai believes that if the woman has gone through her yemei tuma and gone through her yemei sfira, then if she has a sighting of dam afterwards, she's actually no different than a woman who finished her yemei tuma of tumat leida and had a sighting. If she didn't go to the mikveh, then we consider it to be a mayan, a discharge, but not considered to be dam nida. And so Beit Shammai says we're consistent. We believe that that's the case. Gemara says the member of the plige that Beit Shammai argues on this point, but it's not. Umodim b'yolet b'zov shehi mitameh lach v'yavesh. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says that if they agree that if she gives birth b'zov, that post that period of time, if she doesn't go to the mikveh, then her discharges are mitama, lach, and yavesh, meaning that we treat it like a mayan, and not like dam nida or dam leida. Where it says lo kasha. Big difference in the cases. Kansha safra, kansha lo safra. Depends whether she kept the shivanikim or she didn't keep the shivanikim. What Beit Shammai says is, you have yemei tuma, and after yemei tuma, she now has a requirement for shivanikim. If she does both of those, she waited 7 days of tuma for zakhar, shivanikim after that, to get rid of the zava, or the zov, or 14 days of tuma for nekeva, and then 7 days of nikim to take care of the yemei tuma of a nekeva plus the shivanikim. If she does either of those, then even if she doesn't go to the mikveh, the woman gets transformed, similar to the case where she had her yemei tuma by leida, the 7 days or the 14 days, and if she waited till after those days and didn't go to the mikveh, Beit Shammai says the discharges of dam that she sees after that point in time are mayanot, mitameh, rak lach, only lach, not yavesh. So too over here, if she clears what she needs to do in order to make herself tehora, and includes the shivinikim, then if she doesn't go to the mikveh, also there, the discharges will convert into only being mitameh lach, and not yavish. On the other hand, if she gives birth, bezob, and then only waits past the yamei tumah, but never has shivinikim, in that case, if she doesn't go to the mikveh, she remains yoledet bezob, she remains a zava, and the dam that she sees then will be considered to be dam nida, or dam ziva, and that will be mitameh lach and yavish. What we're saying now in Beit Shammai is, Beit Shammai, in our Mishnah, where they say that they agree to Beit Hillel by yoledet bezob, that's a scenario where they covered the yamei tumah, but she didn't do her shivinikim. And that's like Nida, or the case of Nida, by where she doesn't go to the mikveh, then all of her discharges are still considered to be discharges of Nida, and they will be mitameh lach v'yavish. On the other hand, according to Beit Shammai, if she was yoledet and got through her yamei tumah, and then didn't go to the mikveh, the sightings she sees after that are during the time period of yamei tohar, and so the dam is only like a mayan, because she is tameyah, because she didn't go to the mikveh, but it's not a discharge of nida, and therefore it's only mitamei lach and not yavesh. And so too, over here in the case where she gives birth bezob, if she covers her yamei tumah, plus she does her shiva nikiim, then at that point, she's no different than a woman who gave birth, cleared her yamei tumah, and now is facing just yamei tohar. So too this woman, if she did her yamei tumah and her shiva nikiim, then go to the mikveh, she's still now in her yamei tohar. And her yamei tohar, according to Beit Shammai, means that any discharge of dam that she has then, it's not going to be classified as dam nida, and therefore, mitamei lach v'yavesh, it'll be like a mayan, it'll be like her spit, saliva, her meiraglaim, her urine, whereby it's considered to be a mayan of someone who's tmeah, and then it's only mitamei lach, and not yavesh. V'atanya, we have a breita that is supportive. This is a breita b'nichuta, it's not a question. You'll let it bezov. A woman who gives birth when she was a zava gidola, that means that she has, during her yamei ziva, she had 3 days of sighting of dam going into the leida, whereby she didn't have shivinikim to clear that ziva, and then she gives birth. After there's a cessation, which we're going to see in tomorrow's daf, if there was a little bit of a break, then it's considered to be yoledet bezov. In that case, if she gets through her yamei tumah, and she does her shivinikim, velo tavla, and then doesn't go to the mikveh, viraata, and then she has sightings of dam, hachu Beit Shammai l'shita dam, Beit Shammai keeps their shita, which is that it's only mitamei lach and not yavesh. Beit Hillel the shita dam, and Beit Hillel keeps their shita that it's mitamei lach and yavesh. Or in essence, the same machloket they have about going from yamei tumah to yamei tahara without going to the mikveh, they also have that same machloket with regards to yamei tumah, shivinikim, and then not going to the mikveh. It has that same machloket. So itmar, now we go back to a machloket that we saw much earlier in the Masechta, back in Daf Yud Aleph, between Rav and Levi, which is Rav Amar, Mayan Echad Hu, that the discharge, the blood discharge of a woman after birth, all comes from the same source, HaTorah Tamato, VaTorah Taharato. And the Torah just tells you, for the first 7 days, by a Zachar, it's Tameh, after that it becomes Tahor for the next 33 days. And similarly, by an Akeva, for the first 14 days, the discharges are Tameh, after that point in time, for the next 66 days, the discharges are Tehorim. It is coming from the same place. It's the same dam. Just as Gzeret HaKatuv, that once you cross the threshold of 7 or 14 days, that it's no longer dam tameh, it becomes dam tohor. That's Rav's view. The Levi Amar, Shnei Mayanotem. There are really two sources over here. Nisdam HaTameh, Niftach HaTohor. When the dam tameh, which is the first 7 or 14 days, is done, that makor, that source, shuts down. And then the Tahor source opens up. And then at the end of the 40 days or the 80 days by a male or a female, Nistama Tahor, the Tahor shuts down, and Niftacha Tameh, the new Tameh one opens up. So Levi sees it as being different physiological sources for the Dam, and therefore there's a Dam Tameh and Dam Tahor, which source from different areas. Rav says all sources from the same area. It's just a question of what the Torah prescribes is the status of that dam, whether it's tamei, tahor, and then later on again, tamei again. So, my benayu, what's the nafkamina between them? And as Tosfot says, there are plenty of things that are difference between them. Just the Gemara here picks the easiest one, or the most obvious, which is ikamenayu shofat, mitoch shiva dachar shiva, a case where a woman has a continuous flow of dam from the day 7 into day 8, o mitoch arvasar dachar arvasar, by a female from day 14 into day 15, or for a male, mitoch arbaim, nachar arbaim, from the 40th day into the 41st day, or for a female, mitoch shmanim, the achar shmanim, from the 80th day into the 81st day. The Rav, according to Rav, resha lekula, in the case where you went from the 7th day into the 8th day, or you went from the 14th day into the 15th day with a continuous flow of dam, for Rav, that'll be a kula. Because Rav says it doesn't really matter. It's all the same dam. It all comes from the same place. The Torah just gives you a cutoff. The cutoff is 7 days and 14 days. You cross over the cutoff. Everything post the cutoff is tahor. The seifa, the latter case where you go from the flow being from day 40 into 41 or 80 into 81, over there, the latter 33 days of the 40 and the latter 66 of the 80, that was dam tahor. As soon as you cross over the threshold of the 40th day or the 80th day, then it is the chumrah, it's going to be tameh. It doesn't matter that it's just continuously flowing. The Torah says that's the cutoff. Anything after that point in time is dam tameh. Levi, according to Levi, reishal the chumrah. And the reish should actually turn out to be the chumrah. Levi needs evidence of the fact that you switched the sourcing of your dam. The only way for that to happen is if you have a cessation of dam. You need some break of dam to show or demonstrate that you've switched from one source to the other source. If the blood continually flows straight through day 7 into day 8, or day 14 to day 15, there's no way you can claim that the sightings of dam on day 8 or day 15 are tahorim, because you never had a cessation of dam to switch the mayanot. That means it's still coming from the mayan that is tameh. And in the safe, it'll work out the kula, which is that the dam continues to flow from the 40th day into the 41st, or from the 8th day into the 81st day, since it started out as dam tahor, and it's continuing to flow, we assume it's dam tahor until you have a cessation of that dam and begin a new flow of dam, which would then be the dam tameh. So it turned out to be the kula that even after the 40th day or the 80th day, that Levi still believes you can have sightings that are tahor as long as the sightings are continuous from day 40 into 41 or day 80 into day 81. Okay, meitavei. Now the Gemara asks from our Mishnah, dama yoledet shelo tavla. A woman who gives birth who didn't go to the mikveh, beit shemai omrim, that the sightings of dam she has at this point are like mayanot, and they have a din like rope, and meimei raglayim, which are mitamei lach, and not yavesh. Beit Hillel omrim, mitamei lach, v'yavesh. Beit Hillel says, it is like a regular sighting of nida, and therefore it's mitamei lach and yavesh. It's as if the discharge continues to be a discharge of leida or nida. Kasal kadatcho, the pasko. We're assuming here that she had a cessation of dam when she went from her Yemei Tumah into Yemei Tarah. Now, if you make that assumption, Bishlam Adarav. Now I understand Rav's position, Damar Mayan Echadu, that he says that they're a single Mayan, Mishum Hachi Mitamei Lach V'Yavesh. That's why, according to Beit Hillel, you continue to have a din of Nida. Because there's no difference in the Dam. It's not Dam Tamei, and now we're dealing with Dam Tahor. The same Dam that was Tamei before is Tahor now. But you have a problem. You didn't go to the mikveh. Since you didn't go to the mikveh, the same dam that was tamei and would have been tahor had you gone to the mikveh, now that you don't go to the mikveh, that same dam remains tamei because of the influence of the nida that happened beforehand, or the leida that happened beforehand. Ela lelevi damar shnei mayanotim, according to Levi that says that it's two separate sources, amai mitamei lach v'yavesh. Why does Beit Hillel think that it remains a discharge of nida, or the early days of tumah of leida, because you switched mayanot. There was a cessation of dam over here. That means that you're already sourcing out of the mayan ha-tahor. Then why should the dam that you're seeing now, which is coming out of a mayan tahor, have anything to do with the dam that came from the source that was tameh? It's no different than cutting your arm and having blood, cutting your finger and having blood. So to over here, you have a discharge of blood that is not considered to be dam tameh. So why should it have a din of lach and yavesh? It should be like any other mayan or any other source of dam. It should only be mitamei lach and not yavesh. So amar chalevi, hachem mayaskinan b'shofat. The case here in the Mishnah is a case where there was continuous flow. We said, kasal kadatcha. We thought to say there was cessation of dam. All Levi needs to do to not have a problem, not have a question on himself, and say that's not true. It's a case where it was flowing continuously from day 7 into day 8, or day 14 to day 15. It says, Ibe Shofat, if there's a continuous flow of dam, my time of the Beit Shammai. Then according to Levi's view, how can Beit Shammai fit here? According to Levi, in order for you to switch from dam tameh to dam tohar, you need to have a cessation of dam. You didn't have that. So I understand Beit Hillel's position now as to why the dam that you are emitting, or that you are discharging, is considered to be like dam nidan, it's lach and yavesh, because you're going straight from the tuma into the tahara without any break, and that means it's still the mayan hatameh that is sourcing. But for Beit Shammai, who says post the seventh day, if she didn't go to the mikveh, the dam that she cites over there is only mitameh lach and not yavesh. How is that? Because it's flowing continuously or steadily from day 7 into day 8. It means that the mayan hatameh is the source of this dam, and Beit Hillel should be right. So kasavai Beit Shammai mayan echad hu. Beit Shammai disagrees exactly on that point, that he thinks, like Rav, Beit Shammai, that it is a mayan echad, it's one source. And therefore, you don't need a cessation of dam for it to switch from tamei to tahor. So bishlam al Levi, now it makes sense according to Levi, hanudika ben Beit Shammai to Beit Hillel. That's the machloka between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel when it's shofat, when you have a continuous flow of dam, that the difference between them is that Beit Hillel believes that it's shnei mayanot, it's two different mayanot, and therefore if it's continuously flowed dam from 7th day into the 8th day, or the 14th day into the 15th day, then that dam that you're discharging is the same dam that was beforehand. If it's the same dam that was beforehand, it's tamei like a nida, or a discharge of a nida, and it's tamei lach and yavesh. Whereas Beit Shammai says that it's really mayan echad, the same mayan, and the Torah is gozer, that when you cross over the threshold from 7 to 8 days, or 14 to 15 days, it turns into dam tohar. And so now that it's dam tohar, it's a different status of dam, so she didn't go to the mikvah, so she's still tmeah. But that doesn't mean that the discharge is dam tameh, it's a discharge that's coming from a woman who is tmeah, and therefore it'll be mitameh lach, and not yavesh, but it will not be like the dam of a nida, because that's the gzeret hakatub, that the threshold switches it from dam tameh to dam tahor. And now, the dam tahor is like a mayan of a nida, whereby it'll be mitameh lach and not yavesh. El Rav, ma beinayu. According to Rav, what is the nafkanina between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai? What's their machloket about? It says, igdi beinayu, yomei vitvila. The difference between them, according to Rav, where Rav believes that it's a mayan echad, and so since it's a mayan echad, you cross over the threshold time, it becomes tahor. The Torah tells you it's tahor. Now you have to explain why Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai have a differing opinion. That's to do with what they think is the trigger for the Gzeret HaKatuv to switch from Tamei to Tahor Dam. That is Beit Shammai Savri Veyom Beit Tala Rachmana. Beit Shammai believes it's just the days. When you go from 7 to 8, that goes from Dam Tamei to Dam Tahor. That's it. Just got to cross over the days. It has nothing to do with going to the mikveh. It's simply a question, are you in the 7th day or are you in the 8th day? If you're in the 7th day, it's Tamei. 8th day, it's Tahor. If you're in the 14th day, according to Nekeva, you're a Tamei. In the 15th day, you are a Tahor. And irrespective of what the woman does, whether she goes to the mikveh or not. Now, if she does or doesn't go to the mikveh, will be influential in what the discharge is. If she went to the mikveh, the discharge will be Tahor, the Gamre. On the other hand, if she didn't go to the mikveh, the discharge will be like a Mayan, it'll be Metamei Lach, and not Yavesh, but it won't be Dam Nida. Beit Hillel Savrei Vayomei Uvitzvila. Beit Shammai believe that you need two things in order to switch from being the Dam Tamei to Dam Tahor. You need the days. You need to go from the 7th day to the 8th day, or the 14th day to the 15th day, but you also need to go to the mikveh. If you don't go to the mikveh, the Torah doesn't give you dam tohar, and therefore the dam tohar is still premised on that tefillah, and absent that tefillah, it will be tameh tumat nida, and it will be mitameh lach and yavesh. Tosafot over here points out that the explanation of the machloket of Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai in a case of shofat, we have a continuous ring flow of dam, will then teach you that vahashta, afilu b'tavla yitamu Beit Hillel, lach v'yavesh. According to this, Beit Hillel will say that you are mitameh lach and yavesh, even if she went to the mikveh. U'matnitan t'nalat v'lo tavla, in our Mishnah that says that she didn't go to the mikveh, is mishum Beit Shammai. It has to do with Beit Shammai. It's the chiddush in Beit Shammai, not a chiddush in Beit Hillel. Because according to Levi, Beit Hillel believes there are two mayanot, there are two sources of dam, and unless you switch from the dam tameh to the dam tohar, you remain dam tameh. And that's irrespective of whether you did or didn't go to the mikveh. Doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is, do you have a cessation of the dam? Once you have a cessation of the dam, then you're switching from the mayan tameh to mayan tohar. Absent that cessation, then Beit Hillel is going to say you are continuing to have sightings of from the mikor hatameh, and the dam is tameh, like that of a nida, or leida in her early days, and that will be mitameh lach and yavesh. And then, according to Levi, why did our mission mention the fact that she didn't go to the mikveh? Even if she went to the mikveh, Beit Hillel says it's tamei. So the Gemara says that's because of a Beit Shammai. Because according to Beit Shammai, he thinks it's mayan echad, and therefore it's a gzera ta katuv, that you switch from dam tamei to dam tohar, there, it makes a difference whether you went to the mikveh or you didn't go to the mikveh. If you went to the mikveh, then the dam is completely tahor. If you don't go to the mikveh, then the dam is mitameh lach and not yavesh, because the woman is tmeah, even though the dam is dam tohar, so it'll be like a mayan from a woman. That's why I mentioned tefillah for the shita Beit Shammai, not because of the shita Beit Hillel, because according to Levi, it's irrelevant. According to Rav, of course, then the tefillah is essential, because that's exactly the machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. According to Rav, tefillah is necessary for Beit Hillel, not Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai says the days are what govern whether you're tamei or tahor. Beit Hillel says you need days and mikveh. So the lo tavla is on Beit Hillel's position. Since you didn't go to the mikveh, that's why you still have a discharge of dam nida, and it's not considered to be dam tohar. And for Beit Shammai, just like by Levi, there will be the distinction as to whether the dam is tohor the gamre, or the dam is only mitamei lach and not yavesh, like a mayan. Right, tashma. Umudim biyolet bizov, our Mishnah says, that they agree if she gives birth bizov, shehi mitama lach viyavesh, that the discharges of dam then are lach and yavesh, it's like the dam nida. Sakadatva halchanami de pasco. Once again, we would think that there was a cessation of dam between the 7th day and the 8th day, or between the 14th day and the 15th day. Bishlalama de rav damar mayan echadu. According to Rav, who says it's a single source for the dam, shemachi mitamei lach viyavesh. That's why it continues to be mitamei lach viyavesh, because it's all the same dam. Doesn't matter whether it's before the date or after the date. And you didn't do your shivanikim. And so that's why the dam continues to be dam of nida. Ela Levi, damar shnei mayanotim, according to Levi, says there are two different sources, amay mitamei lach viyavesh. Why after she gets through the 7th day into the 8th day, or the 14th day to the 15th day, she has a cessation of dam, and then now she has new sightings, that dam is dam tohar. So why should it be mitamei lach viyavesh? Even if she requires shivanikim, even if she's still classified as a nida because she didn't go to the mikveh, it should have no bearing on the dam itself, because the dam itself is coming from a different source. It's coming from a different source. It's dam tohar. Now, it might be classified as an emission or a discharge of a woman who is tmeah, but it certainly, it itself would not be dam that is tamei, and that would be mitamei lach viyavesh. Tamalacha, once again, Levi says, hachanami bishofat. It's a case where continually flowing from the 7th to the 8th day, or the 14th to the 15th day. Ibishofat, if you're telling me that it's continuously flowing, the mai istrich, then why do you have to tell me the din? Because for Levi, according to Beit Hillel, who says that there are two mayanot over here, then you already told me this in the Reisha, where you told me that if it was shofat from the Yemei Tuman to the Yemei Tahara, that's the scenario in which Beit Hillel is going to say that the woman says tmeah. So why should it make any difference here that she say you let it dissolve? You have the exact same scenario. If she's shofat, obviously it's going to be the same din, which is she's going from a Yemei Tuman to a Yemei Tahara, continuing to see the same dam, the mayanot have not changed now. So then what is the chiddush in this latter part of the Mishnah? It says the Beit Shammai itzrich. We need it for Beit Shammai. Avagav d'kamrei Beit Shammai mayan echadu. Even though Beit Shammai holds that it is one mayan, remember before Levi set it up, that Beit Shammai believes that it's a single mayan, ubiyome tala rachmano, and the Torah says it's all talui in the days, when you go from 7 to 8, or if you go from 14 to 15, that's when the changes from Tumat to Tahara, Hani Mile Yoledet Gredita. That's only in a normal Yoledet. Shlimilahu Yome. Because she finished her days of Tumat. The 7 days for Zachar, or the 14 days for Nekeva. But Yoledet Bezov, Dubai Spira, Yoledet Bezov, who also requires Shivanikim to get rid of her Tumat, lo. Then it's not enough the days. I mean, it's not enough 7 days and 14 days. You actually need 14 and 21 days. You need 7 days of Tumat, then 7 days Shiva Nikiim, or you need the 14 days of Tumah by Nekeba, and then 7 days of Spirit Nikiim, Shiva Nikiim, in order to change the status of the discharge from being Dam Tameh into Dam Tohar. So that's why, according to Levi, you needed that last line in the Mishnah to teach you that view of Beit Shammai, that Zov makes that you require Shiva Nikiim, and it's not enough that you get through your Mei Tumah of the Yoledet. Now, I'm explaining this Gemara, and Rashi does the same, assuming the fact that the Shivanikim cannot be running simultaneous with the Yemei Tumah, which is the assumption we've had through the Masechta until now. We will see in the upcoming Gemaras that there are dissenting opinions that believe that you can count your Shivanikim during the Yemei Tumah. But just as a note, I'm explaining it with the fact that you cannot overlap them, which has been the assumption of the Gemara until this point. Tashma. So the Pasuk says, That the first 7 days by a male or 14 days by Nekeva, they are like her being a Nida. Now, there seems to be an extraneous word there, which is Dvota. And you could have just said she's like a Nida. What is like Nida Dvota? So again, the word Dvota seems to be extraneous over here. And the Bright explains the following. Dvota, Titma, the Rabotet Boala. To tell you that a person who is Boel, a Yoledet in the first 7 days by a Zachar, the first 14 days by Nekeva, is no different than a Boel Nida. And therefore, he will have the same status as the woman herself. Dvota Titma, the Rabota Leilot. To tell you that the nights are included, because the Pasuk says, Shivat Yamim, Kimei Nida Dvota, so it would sound like maybe the Tuma is only during the day, not at night. So Dvota comes to tell you, not only during the day, but at night. Dvota Titma, the Rabota Yoledet Bizov. To tell you that a woman who gives birth, Biziva, Shetzricha Shetishev Shivat Yamim Nikim. To tell you that if you're Yoledet Bizov, it's not enough to get through your days of Tuma. You also need Shiva Nikiim in order to be Tahor. Again, whether that has to be independent of the days of Tuma or it can run simultaneously is a machloket we'll see later. Vishlama the Rab Damar Mayan Echadu, according to Rab who says it's one Mayan, Shemachi by Shiva Yamim Nikiim. I understand why you need Shiva Nikiim, because the only way to distinguish between Dam Tameh and Dam Tahor is to go through the process that leads you from being Tameh to Tahor. So one of those processes is going from the Shiva Yamei Tuma of Leida to the 8th day, or going from the 14 days of Yamei Tuma by Nekeva to the 15th day. That's one way. The other way is to have Shiva Nikiim, which is what you need to clear the problems of Zov. So you need to accomplish both of those in order to bring the woman to a position where she has the possibility of being Tahora. And that's why you would require Shiva Nikiim. According to Levi, who says that the source of Dam Tameh and Dam Tohar are totally different sources. Lamali Shiva. Why do I need Shiva Nikiim? Bimashu Sagya. It would be enough if you have a cessation for a moment. As long as the flow of Dam stops for a moment, then I know you've switched from the Mayan Tameh to the Mayan Tohor. And if you did that, then it doesn't matter. The Dam that you're seeing now is Dam Tohar. Why do you need Shiva Nikiim in order to become Tohor? The Tohor is determined not by the Shiva Nikiim, but rather switching from the Dam Tameh to Dam Tohar, which means that you had a cessation and switched Mayanot. Where it says, Hachi Kamar, Tzricha Shetivsok Mashu, you need a momentary lapse, cessation in the flow of Dam, She'olula L'Shiva Nikiim, which will be the equivalent of Shiva Nikiim, because you don't need Shiva Nikiim, you just need to know you switched Mayanot. So when you switch Mayanot, it's the equivalent of what would have been Shiva Nikiim. According to Rav, you actually need Shiva Nikiim because the Dam flowing is all the same Dam. And so how do you distinguish between Tameh and Tahor? You have to go through the process of moving from the Yemei Tuma to Yemei Tahara, or going from being a Zava to a woman that is Tahora. And you do that by counting your Shiva Nikiim. For Levi, it's not about your status. It has to do with where the blood is sourcing from. As long as the blood is sourcing from the other Mayan, you are Tahor. So then Shiva Nikiim is not a relevant factor. The only thing that matters is, did you switch from the Makor that's Tameh to the Makor that is Tahor? And that's evidenced by a cessation of Dam after the 7th day or after the 14th day for Nekeva. As soon as you have a cessation of Dam, you switched Mayanot. Any Dam that you see now has nothing to do with being a Zava. It's as if, again, you're seeing Dam like a Bakat. If you see Dam from a cut on your finger, that doesn't stop your Shiva Nikiim. So to hear, if she sees Dam that's coming out of the Makor, but it's Tahor, it's not going to undermine her Shiva Nikiim. She can count Shiva Nikiim while having a discharge of Dam, according to this, because it's Dam Tohar. And it will still count as being part of her Shiva Nikiim. And that's why you just need a momentary lapse to know that you swapped Mayanot. Tashma. Yimei Ibura, Olim Lad Yimei Minikuta. Yimei Minikuta, Olim Lad Yimei Ibura. Again, we saw this earlier in the Masechta on Daf Yud, that in order to be classified as a Mesuleket Damim, a woman who is no longer having sightings of Dam, you need to miss three cycles. You need a Chazaka of being a Mesuleket Damim by missing what would have otherwise been the time period where you expected to see Dam. So now you can have a pregnancy that leads into a nursing, or nursing that leads into pregnancy. Ketzad, Yifsika Shtayim Bimei Ibura. While she was pregnant, she missed two cycles. V'achad Bimei Minikuta. And then she missed one cycle during her nursing. Shtayim Bimei Minikuta. Or she missed two while she was nursing. V'achad Bimei Ibura. And one while she was pregnant. One and a half she missed while she was pregnant. One and a half while she was nursing. Olim la the gimel onot. You can add them together. They aggregate to get you the three cycles that you missed in order to be classified as a misuleket damim, which has implications for when you have a sighting afterwards. If you have a sighting afterwards, then it's dayashata. It's only prospective tuma. If you're not a misuleket damim, then we have the me'et le'et institution, which says that if you have a sighting dam, we believe that you might have seen that dam for up to 24 hours before. And so that is determined as by whether you are a misuleket damim or not a misuleket damim. If you have regular flow of dam, then you're like any other nida, and you're subject to the rule that if you have a sighting, then you're tamei lamafreya for 24 hours. The other hand, if you're considered a misuleket damim, a woman who doesn't have a normal sighting anymore because you have a chazakah of not sighting dam, that chazakah makes it that if you have a new sighting, it's a start or a restart, and then you only have prospective tuma. Now, in terms of the scenarios here, moving from nursing into pregnancy is very easy to understand. The woman was nursing and then she got pregnant. So that's how you go from one to the next. And there's no necessity for there to be any flow of dam in between. And so you could have a cessation of dam, partly from the nursing and then going into the pregnancy. The problem is in the reverse, where the Braita here mentions that you can go from pregnancy into nursing. Well, the only way to go from pregnancy to nursing is to have a birth in between. If you have a birth in between, then you had a sighting of dam in between. How could you be misuleket damim if you're going from pregnancy into nursing? So that we learned back on Daf Yud. The easiest way to explain it is to say that it was a leida yaveshta. It was a dry birth. And there was no dam sighted during the birth. The way Rashi explains it is based on what the Gemara said back on Daf Yud, which was that dam nidalachud and dam leidalachud. Yes, she's going to see dam when she gives birth. But that's dam of leida. Dam of leida does not undermine you being a misuleket damim as far as your menstrual cycle is concerned. The gimel onot that you're counting, that the fact that you saw dam during the leida is not impactful on the dam nida, and you'll still have a din of being misuleket damim. Where it says, Vishlam al rab damar mayan echadu. According to Rab, it says it's one mayan, shimhachi by hefsek shlosh onot. In order to be classified as a misuleket damim, you need to have miss three periods or menstrual cycles that you would have expected. Levi damar shnei mayanotein, according to Levi, who says that they are two mayanot, lamali hefsek shloshonot. Why do you need to have a cessation of dam for three menstrual cycles in order to consider a misuleket damim? All you need to do is, after the pregnancy, move from the dam tamei to the dam tahor. As soon as you move to dam tahor, it's no longer considered to be dam of nida, and you'll be a misuleket damim, even though you're citing dam. Even though you're seeing dam, it's like, again, like you cut your finger, like you cut your arm. And so to over here, the dam tahor that you're seeing is not going to undermine the fact that you are considered to be a misuleket damim. According to Levi, the Shemayot, and Lamedi have six shloshanot. Vimashu sagi. It'd be enough if you have a momentary cessation of dam, because then you'd be switching to your mayan hatohor, and therefore you'll still be considered to be a misuleket damim. So he says, Haki kamar. Srika shitivsok mashu, kadei shialula le shloshanot. Ain't okanami. As long as you have a momentary lapse in the dam between the 7th day and the 8th day, or between the 14th day and the 15th day for a nekiva, then that switches to mayan tohor, and you'll be considered a misuleket damim. The dam that was tmeya before is not dam nida, that was dam leida. And so it doesn't undermine your shloshonot. Although Rabbi Akiva Eger asks exactly that question, which is that the dam during the mei tuma are not considered to be dam leida. And if that's the case, then you should definitely be mafsik. So in order to answer that, you have to say or believe that the dam during the Yemei Tuma of her Leida are classified or are seen as a continuation of the Leida. Otherwise, you have a problem of a hefsek of sighting, and then you would have to rely on a Leida Yaveshta in order to have this scenario play out where she is Misuleket Damim from a pregnancy straight through to a nursing situation. And the dam you see post the 7th day or post the 14th day will be dam tohar as long as you had some lapse and that switched from the mayan hatameh to the mayan hatohar. And then if you continue to see dam, that doesn't change the fact that you're not seeing your menstrual cycle and you'll be considered a misuleket damim. Whereas for Rav, in order to be considered a misuleket damim, you actually have to not be seeing dam because it all sources from the same place. And if you're seeing dam now, post tumat leida, post the 7 days or post the 14 days, then you're seeing dam, that makes it that you're not misuleket damim. Even though the dam is dam toar, it's still sourced from the same location, and that means you're having sightings of dam, and we cannot classify you as being a misuleket damim. Okay, we're going to stop here, 14 lines down on the top of Lamed Vav, Amud Aleph.